Kathy Dawes now, along with Dr. Stephen Higgs, Director of Biosecurity Research Institute at Kansas State University. And I guess all kinds of things we could talk about. You've been traveling as always, but you're here now.
And it's always good to be back. We were just talking now, and I said that being home is hearing you on the radio. When I get in range of K-Man, I'm tuned in, and I think, Kathy Dawes, I'm home. It's good.
Well, very good. And I know that some of the different things that you've been working on now, I actually was referring to an article from a couple months ago having to do with the Zika virus that I know you helped publish. But it sounds like you continue to be busy and you moved on to the next chapter, so to speak, and some of the work you're doing that way.
Yeah, constantly moving, Kathy. That particular paper was looking at the Zika virus potential to infect an unusual type of mosquito, if you like, not the typical one, the Culex mosquitoes, which normally transmit West Nile virus. And it's still somewhat controversial. Some people say this mosquito can transmit it, and our research has shown that it can't. And the discussion's out, but certainly with the very fastidious research that we did, we couldn't get this mosquito infected, and we're normally pretty good at that. And it's a mosquito that lives close to people in fairly contaminated waters. It's very abundant. So if it could transmit, it might have a significant impact on transmission to people, but we don't think it can.
Oftentimes, living here in the Midwest, it gets colder in the winter, although I have noticed a few flies hanging on with some of the warmer weather we continue to have. But we shouldn't be complacent. I mean, a lot of us travel and go to other places that are warmer, and just the continued warnings for people that way.
That's right. I mean, it's good for us, that cold weather killing the mosquitoes. But last week I was in Florida. There were mosquitoes around there for sure.
And anything new in that area that you continue to see and work on? And in layman's terms, of course.
Well, Zika's kind of out of the news at the moment. I mean, there's still some research going on. There's still pushes for vaccines for people. We've been involved in some of that research, but it's kind of quiet at the moment.
Any other mosquito-borne viruses that we need to be aware of or things that we need to be concerned with?
Well, at the Biosecurity Research Institute, we just completed a study a couple of weeks ago with Rift Valley fever virus. That's an African virus that can cause devastating livestock losses at massive abortion storms where it occurs in Africa, and also fatal disease in humans. It's somewhat similar to West Nile and Japanese encephalitis in that it's transmitted between mosquitoes and people and mosquitoes and other animals. And there was a study that was conducted as a collaboration between the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Arthropod-Borne Animal Diseases Research Unit, which is based here in Manhattan on College Avenue. And those researchers did a Rift Valley fever study in deer. We always say that our focus is on livestock in one of the areas of the Biosecurity Research Institute. But obviously, wild animals can be involved in some of these cycles. So these are the first ever studies performed in the United States on deer with this particularly dangerous virus. And the purpose of that was to see if they were susceptible, if they could generate enough virus in the blood to transmit to mosquitoes. Because there is a constant concern that these viruses could be introduced into the United States and be a threat to agriculture and to people. And if they get into wildlife, as West Nile did, then they're extremely difficult, if not impossible, to control.
And there again, a lot of times we think, oh, it's far away from us, but it can always get here. I mean, it can still impact, of course, globally in quite significant ways.
That's right. It's just a plane ride away, and you know how quickly you can get from one continent to another.
I almost forgot that actually, in the last month or so, I had an opportunity to listen in on the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. They had a hearing, and of course, you were a pretty prominent part of that. I was able to catch some of your testimony on that, and that sounded pretty fascinating. You continue to do things like that, and what was that all about?
So that was a first for me, to go to the House of Representatives and give testimony. Yes, the Subcommittee on Science, Space, and Technology. And the title of the meeting was Putting Food on the Table, a Review of the Importance of Agriculture Research. And so I received this invitation. I was thrilled and went. And there was a one-hour session where they asked questions about the importance of agriculture. And obviously, here at Kansas State University, we've been doing this type of research since, well, for over 150 years. It's very important for us. It's very important for the country. You know, we all eat every day. And so protecting our agricultural productivity is very important. So that was fun. I have to say, Congressman Roger Marshall was just a fabulous host. After the meeting, showed us around. It was just wonderful. And he's been out to the BRI previously, so knows about the work that we've done.
Well, and that thing it also brought out, too, and I know there was some discussion on foot and mouth disease and a variety of things. So many times we do focus with you on the mosquito-borne viruses, mm-hmm. but you know about so many other different things, too, obviously, in your position as director of the BRI. There's just a lot of things going on right now.
There is indeed. So we work on foodborne pathogens and, as you know, plant pathogens. And part of the discussion in Washington was the threat of plant pathogens. And since 2009, there's been research at the BRI with a group from Department of Plant Pathology working on this thing called wheat blast. I don't know whether I've talked to you about this before.
You have, but you could always go over it again, because I know it is something that it sounds like it's a real issue right now. And, of course, being the wheat state, supposedly, you would
think,
yeah.
Yep. So that's a pathogen that is native of South America. But last year, 18 months ago or so, was introduced into Bangladesh and subsequently spread to India. Absolutely devastating wheat production. And is a huge potential threat. And we've been doing that research and in a safe, secure environment since 2009, as I say.
Are there any answers yet?
That group is studying, genetics of plants, resistance and so forth, identifying ways by which that pathogen could come into the country. You know, we don't have enough surveillance in this country to be able to detect things as they come in. I don't think we ever will, to be honest. But one of their projects was looking at routes by which that pathogen might be more easily introduced into the country to sort of set up preparedness for that.
Well, I imagine there would be all sorts of different things that you could attempt to do, but I can see your point where it'd be difficult to keep a close watch on every single person that came into the country.
Yeah, and every single shipment. I mean, the amount of products that we import into the U.S. from multiple different countries is, unbelievable.
Very good. Well, it is about 9:46. Why don't we go ahead and take a break? Dr. Stephen Higgs with us today, Director of Biosecurity Research Institute, Kansas State University. We'll continue our discussion. 537-1350 if you have questions of your own. Toll free 866-776-1350. You're listening to In Focus.